If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
Listen to Paul. Who are you that judges another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. While one man esteems one day above another, another makes every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. My God, he that regards the day regards it to the Lord. And he that does not regard it to the Lord, he does not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not should do it to the Lord and give God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. In other words, they said it better when I was in grade school. No man is an island. Arrogance makes us think we don't need anybody. I wouldn't be standing here now if it weren't for some godly people who took an interest in me when I was a young teenager. We need each other. Hallelujah. Back to Matthew 5. You're the salt of the earth. Tell your neighbor, you're the salt of the earth. He says, but if it's lost its ability, its savor, its purpose, it's not good for anything. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. Say, I'm a light. That word light in the Greek is the word phos, where we get the word phosphorus. And what's interesting about phosphorus is phosphorus burns as long as it gets oxygen. In the Korean War, they came out and developed phosphorus grenades. And when those grenades would explode, the phosphorus would get into the skin. And as long as the soldier was in oxygen, the phosphorus would stay ignited. They had to put surgical jelly on it to take away the oxygen and then submerge them in water. And so what he's saying is, you and I are the phos, and our source of light can't be extinguished. If you notice this passage, he says, you're the light of the world, but Jesus is the light. We reflect. We're like the moon. The moon doesn't have its own light. Even though Genesis says God made the sun to rule by day and the moon to rule by night, the moon does not have its own light. It reflects the light of the sun. You and I don't have our own light. We reflect the light of the S-O-N. And there are times we're in phases, but it doesn't take away from the fact that you're still a moon. You're just in different phases because people aggravate you. And when they aggravate you, that determines the phase you're in. When you're in that crescent phase, you're just about out. There ain't much left. People have really worn you out. Language begins to come out of your mouth you thought was dead. You're in crescent phase. Now, when you're in lunar phase, when you are completely blocked out, when you're in that lunar eclipse, when you're blocked out, that doesn't mean your behavior becomes reprehensible. What it means is you become spiritually depressed and you don't want to be around God's people because you were created to interact. That's why God gave us souls, so I can feel and connect. But I have to be very careful with whom I connect, because the soul is extremely susceptible to external pressures. A young lady will say, he's pressuring me to have sex. And I need you to think about the dynamic of that. He's pressuring me to have sex. Think about it. Take a moment. Think about it. He's pressuring me to have sex. Now, if I were to ask you to unpack that a little, some of you would say that what she's saying is he's trying to get me to do what I don't want to do. You can't be pressured to do what you don't want to do. I've never heard anyone say they pressured me to kill them. Why? Because that's not something we just do. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. All that is in the world is the pride of life, the lust of the eye, and the lust of the flesh. When people pressure you and you say, oh, he's pressuring me into a sexual relationship. No, he's feeding you lust. And it's finding a place either in the flesh, you see, in the mind. It's finding a place. That's why Paul said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision. Oh, my God. Listen what he says. He said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. What does that mean? It means that you and I, and while we're walking in holiness, we don't make provision for the flesh. Okay, Jane is going to see John. John's her boyfriend, and Jane's going to see John. Okay, now Jane just came out of church. We had a dynamic time. But, you know, she comes to the early morning service, and she could be sitting next to you. And she could be you. And and so Jane knows that after the service, she got her God fix early, right? So she's okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So she calls John. She says, Johnny, I'm going to come over and visit. Now, she asks a question. Is anybody home? Why would you ask that question unless you had motive? Now, John is a Christian. He comes to 6:30 service. That gives you all plenty of time between. So he says, well, no, no one's here. But why doesn't he say, why is that important? So she comes over, and no one's there, and praise the Lord. Okay, now, after that happens, there's guilt. Listen to me very carefully. The guilt doesn't come from the action. It comes from the preparation. The action is instinctive. Let me prove it to you. You're walking down the street, and there are five people walking towards you, and there's four people walking behind you for a total of 10 people. Five people walking towards you, four people behind you, plus you make five. There's five and five, 10 people, right? Now, I know I went to Philadelphia schools, but five and five is 10. Now, you're the only one that sees the $50 bill up along the building. What'd you say? What'd you say, Gary? Listen to the deacon. Listen to the deacon. The deacon said, you step on it. He said, you step on it. Why? Why do you step on it? You don't want nobody else to see it. Where'd that come from, Christian? Where'd that come from? It's more blessed to give than receive. Where'd that come from, Christian? Listen carefully. Your enemy is not just the devil. It's your flesh. Now, I can guarantee you two things are going to happen. Not only will you rush to put your foot on it, but you're also going to say, Lord, don't let nobody else see it. Why? Because Christians love to bring God into their covetousness. We want to invite God into the house of sin that we're concocting. So God's got to make seeing eyes blind. Don't let them see that $50, Lord, till I get there. And then it's, hi, how's y'all doing? Keep right on going. Hey! Then you look around, make sure nobody's there. Okay, watch. Holiness doesn't remove that. You can speak tongues all day long, read 37 chapters of the Bible a day. You're still going to have that same impulse. Why? Because the flesh is often undisciplined. We spend so much time dealing with our soul and our spirit that we ignore the cries of the flesh. The flesh is a pampered, indisciplined, pouty, foolish little child who wants his way all the time. And when he doesn't get it, here's what he tells you to do. Eat. And that's why you call it comfort food, because you're trying to comfort your flesh. He's saying, eat. Why is your flesh telling you to eat all the time? He's telling you to learn how to satisfy him. And he's a monster. And once he's taught you how to satisfy him, flesh looks for a reason. Looks for a reason. Paul said, believers should not marry unbelievers. The flesh says, ain't no men in church. The flesh says, I got to go outside and get somebody. Ain't no good women in church, so I got to go outside and get somebody. That's what the flesh says. And we believe the flesh because the flesh is our friend because it never hurts us. It never hurts us. The flesh tells you, you're tired just when you're about to read your Bible. But your flesh can stay up to watch television or sit in the party. See, when we talk about holiness, it's not those external things that can be changed by the condition of our heart. It is our hearts that determine holiness, not the outward, because the outward is subjected to many variables. So what does Paul say to Timothy to teach the church at Ephesus? He said, flee from youthful lust. He does not imply that there's not old lust. He just said, flee youthful lust. What's the difference? Old lust is mental. You count the cost. See, so when you reach a certain age, you find that those particular genes aren't as functional. They are functional, but not like a 20-year-old. And that's why you have no compassion for 20-year-old lust, because you're envious. You need to get somewhere and sit down with your fast self. Look at the way you dress it. And secretly what you're saying is, I can't dress like that no more. Because Paul says that when you graduate to the upper stratosphere of holiness, you become compassionate. The Bible says they brought a woman to Jesus that was taken in the very act of adultery. You have to let the Bible say what it says. That meant they caught her in bed with the man. They caught her. Said the very act. But they bring her to Jesus. Jesus does not vilify this woman. He does not condemn her. He simply says to the people, you are correct. The law demands her stoning. However, let those of you who have never sinned throw the first stone. And I need you to read that text because it says, from the eldest to the youngest, they left. I love that teaching. From the eldest. We'll bring people up to the altar, demonize what they do, and in many cases, it's the older people that are condemning the most. And they're the ones that have the most to be thankful for, that God hasn't judged them. Holiness is not perfection. It is not the removal of certain clothing and all that other stuff. Those things go with the vocation. I don't feel very pastoral sometimes. Some days I feel like a machine. So I get up in the morning and I say these words when I feel like this. I say, I'm going to dress up. And I get a suit, and a shirt, and a tie. It makes me feel better about me. And I remember one day I had to go to the doctor and he was going to give me a report that I wasn't looking for. And God knew what kind of report he was going to give me. That morning, I'll never forget it. That morning when I woke up, the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, put on your civic wear and put on your red shirt. And I put on my civic wear, put my cross on, made sure the gold was showing. But everybody in that office treated me differently because of what I had on. Not one person said a bad thing. Not one person let me walk out of there without an encouragement. You see, sometimes things come against you and they attack your self-esteem. And it's up to you to lift yourself. Sometimes it's just getting your nails done or getting a pedicure or getting your hair done. Something to lift you so you can feel better about yourself.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
9117A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Want to hear more of Bishop Lambert? Now you can access recent sermons preached by Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. from your computer and mobile device. Just visit ericlambertministries.com. ericlambertministries.com is updated each week with the most recent sermons preached by Bishop Lambert right after our 7:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Sunday services. Purchase and download these uplifting messages so you can listen to the Word of God wherever you go. So visit ericlambertministries.com and add to your digital library today.